How richly the Lord has fed our souls already this morning in the singing of His praises. May He now feed us in the hearing and preaching of His Word. We read God's Word in Luke chapter 11. Reading Luke chapter 11, the first 13 verses. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or persistence, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So far we read in this chapter. A few verses I'd like to read with you. The one in Psalm 50 that we just sang. Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And then in James, the book of James, chapter 4, verse 2, James 4, verse 2, Ye lust, and have not, ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight, and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. And then, verse 8, Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. We have come this morning to Lord's Day 45 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which begins the last section of the Catechism on Prayer. The third part of the Catechism, Thankfulness, is divided into obeying the commandments, the Ten Commandments, and prayer. So on page 25, beginning at question 116. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who has manifested Himself in His Word for all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery so that we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as He hath promised us in His Word. What has God commanded us to ask of Him? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. What are the words of that prayer? And then follows the familiar Lord's Prayer. Beloved in the Lord, I trust that you with me are very glad that we have come to this final section in the Heidelberg Catechism on prayer, and that you say with me, it's time again for this. If our faith is to be preserved unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and if we are to live in faith to the glory of God in the trials of this present time, then we must be taught to pray. We must be reminded of this time and time again. And so this is another reason for us to be very thankful for the Heidelberg Catechism, that every year and a half or so we come back to preaching on prayer, and that we greet this part of the Catechism as a trusted friend who we haven't seen now for over a year or almost 2 years, and we're very thankful for this friend who's going to come to teach us again to pray. Prayer is vital. Prayer is vital for our spiritual life. We're acquainted with vital signs. If someone were to collapse in the auditorium this morning and the first responders would come, they grab the pulse. How are the vital signs? Is there a pulse? Is there a pulse? Is there prayer? Is there a pulse in our spiritual life? That prayer is vital comes out this morning in this question. Where is your spiritual life at this morning? Where is your sanctification? Where is your growth in grace? Where is your relationship to God? Where is your strength against sin, your hope? Where is that all at this morning? Is your and my life in shambles spiritually? Are we indifferent, cold, distant, numb to spiritual things, merely going through the routine? Or is our spiritual life joyful, real, warm, and close with God? Do you find yourself today in a wasteland? In your heart, you feel far from God, and you think you're in a wilderness. Or do you find that today you're in a well-watered garden and the Lord is shining upon you? Are you in a good time with God? Or are you in a very bad time with God? If our spiritual life is in disrepair, and if we are listless, and if we are unbothered by that and by our sins, then you and I are to be numbered with those who are prayerless. Every spiritual problem is at last a prayer problem. "Ye have not," said James, "because ye ask not. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." Prayer has everything to do with how you feel and where you're at spiritually this morning. This is also then a very good question to be asked on family visitation. This would be a good question to ask. What has your prayer life been as of late? And if that's too revealing in that situation of family visiting, probably good for a young couple, the two of them, but if that's a broader family that's being visited, then this would be a good question for us to ask of each other as friends in the Lord. What is your prayer life like? Have you been praying? And ultimately we know that this is a matter between you and God, because God knows. God knows what our prayer life is like. And is it like then a grandparent or a parent who says of their grandchildren or children, "I haven't seen much of you as of late. Where have you been? I haven't heard from you lately." Imagine God asking us, "My child, where have you been? I haven't heard from you. I have seen you trying and trying with that burden to make it. But my throne of grace and my court of prayer is empty. Why?" To live a life of prayer requires love for God, requires discipline, spiritual discipline. It's very easy for our prayer life to become flat. It's very easy for our prayer life, imperceptibly perhaps, to lag. And besides, prayer itself, there are times that it seems that we feel very close to God and the words come from our lips and hearts, and then there are times of deep struggle. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. I talked to a man who we were talking about prayer, and he said to me, acknowledging that things had not been going well for him, he said, "I've been doing a lot of scratching my eyebrow." I said, "Well, what do you mean, scratching your eyebrow?" He says, "Well, I am very busy from morning till night. I'm away from the home most of the time. I eat in restaurants, and I try to bow my head in a moment for a few words, but I scratch my eyebrow, and that's about it. I'm not engaging in prayer. I'm not wrestling with the God of Jacob. I'm not taking hold of God. I've become so wound up, I've lost sight of my prayers. I'm coming to God, without sincerity. I'm not coming with reverence. Beloved, we all stand in that danger of drifting away from prayer. In the last few weeks, we've been very concerned about snow on the roof, going up there to shovel it off our roofs. Beloved, without prayer, all the burdens of this life crash in upon us. There's nothing to hold that up. Prayer is communion with God. It's the way whereby we receive strength and hope and courage. So, it's good. It's good to be back here in this section of the Catechism. That's very, very good. Because you and I need to be reminded. We need to be exhorted. We need to be admonished. We need to be encouraged to pray. Consider with me this morning being taught to pray. We answer three simple questions: why, how, and for what. Our catechism asks, why is prayer necessary for Christians? And immediately, that's the type of question that strikes a chord within every believer. Every believer wants to answer that question. Every believer says, there's one to whom that's a question that I have the answer to. I can tell you the answer to that. And who among us this morning as a child of God does not know in our hearts that what we need is to pray more. And what we need is to pray more earnestly to God as well. And the Catechism gives us two answers. It says we must pray because God must be thanked, and secondly, because God's grace and Spirit are given to us only through prayer. And those two answers really boil down to one reason, one simple and profound reason. Why do you and I need to pray? And we need to pray because we are dependent on God for everything. The Christian wants to answer this question because we feel the need of prayer, because we acknowledge when we are spiritually sane that we're nothing without God. We can't do this without God. Jesus said, "For without me, ye can do nothing." I need to pray because of who I am. I'm a sinner. It's the same sins that I battle against day after day. Where can I go but to God? I need to pray because I'm weak and I'm lonely and I'm afraid and I'm overcome with anxiety and I'm short-sighted and I'm overwhelmed and I'm proud and I'm arrogant. Then I really need to pray when I don't feel like it. And I need to pray because of who God is. He's the rock of strength. He's the Savior. He's the only Savior. He's faithful and He's almighty. Psalm 18, "For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? It is God that giveth me strength and maketh my way perfect." Why must I pray? Because of who I am. I'm a sinner, a needy sinner. And because of who God is, He's the Almighty Father. Of merely grace, He is my Father, who is able and who is willing to help me because I am dependent. We sing, "Though I am weak, God is most high, and on His favor I rely." You see, prayer is part and parcel of being saved. I was going to say part and parcel of being a Christian, but part and parcel of what happens when you are saved. When you are saved, you feel a need. And that need is prayer. When you are saved by grace, you feel a great need for prayer. The wicked, apart from God, do not feel that need of prayer. They may, in a moment of panic and desperation and fear and sorrow, they may, for a moment, 9/11, or in pain, when the plane is in turbulence and the passengers are bouncing off the ceiling, they may feel a need for that to cry out to God, but it's temporary. They remain, apart from grace, we would remain proud and self-reliant and self-governing and in contempt of God, ultimately saying, "Who is the Lord that I should pray to Him?" But the Christian has been born of God's grace. We have been raised from the dead of our sins, and now we feel that we must come to God, that we can't do this without God. We seek God. It's like a newborn baby. What does a newborn baby do when it has a need, when it's hungry, when it's dirty, when it's cold? What does it do? It cries. It cries out for its mother. It cries out to be held. It cries out to be cared for. So we, as born in Jesus Christ, in this world of woe, as a sinner, we get dirty in our sins. We become weary and cold. We cry out of our hearts. Grace gives us to cry out, "Lord, to whom shall I go? I must come to Thee." Prayer is part and parcel of salvation. Do you not feel the need of prayer? I'm not asking if you and I feel it the way we ought to. I'm not asking if it's not so that we can become so withdrawn from God that we wonder, "Do I even feel that anymore?" I'm asking this, child of God, have you not felt the need, personally, to say, "I must arise and go to my Father and say unto my Father, Father, I have sinned and am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Have you not felt the burden of anxiety and struggle and stress? And with the psalmist said, "From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou art a refuge for me." In the burden of sorrow and death, I pour out my soul in my tears. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. And then the burden of praise. Have you not felt a desire to go to God and to say, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together"? We feel the need of prayer. I'd like to encourage us at this time to also begin not only the discipline, if need be, or to see again that this is a discipline, 3 times perhaps a day, it's a discipline, but I'd like to encourage us to pray aloud. I'd like to encourage you personally in your private prayers to begin at times to pray out loud, and to tell you that that's not as difficult as you might think. And to say to you that I have found that I can hardly go beyond 20, 30 seconds when I'm praying in silence and my mind begins to wander off into all kinds of thoughts. And that praying out loud helps me concentrate. Do you have needs today? What are those needs? Do you have needs spiritually this morning? Do you have troubles? Do you have a heart of thanks for what God has done for you? Then tell Him. Bring all of these things to God. Go to Him. He will hear you. He will bless you. Now I said the Catechism answers the question by dividing it into two parts to give thanks. We pray to give thanks to God and we pray for grace. And so that's indeed true. We pray to give thanks. Silence would be an evidence of ingratitude and would be an evidence of a cold heart before God. We know that in our human life. If something has been done for another graciously and there's no expression of gratitude, then that person is extremely into themselves, extremely cold, that they cannot express gratitude. We have received the tender mercies of Jesus Christ, the riches of His grace and His faithfulness. And so we must bring thanks. The 383, one of our favorite Psalter numbers, "All that I am, I owe to Thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, hath fashioned me. I give my Maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze." But when we say with the Catechism that prayer is necessary because we must give Him thanks, and that's true, Scripture emphasizes that with our prayers we must bring thanksgiving. That does not mean that our prayers cannot sometimes be chiefly supplication, be chiefly the unburdening of a troubled heart. Many times, while there is the hope of salvation deep within our souls, what has risen to the top of our soul are the fears and the sorrows. We're in a hospital room. We're in an emergency room. We're before sudden death. And we let out our heart at that moment to God. When the Catechism says that God counts prayer as thankfulness, it's not only saying that we should include thankfulness in our prayer, but the point of the Catechism is that the life of prayer, to pray, God counts as thankfulness. When we go to God with our supplications, when we go to God with our trials and our woes, and we ask Him, God receives this as thanksgiving. We can understand that as parents. A child comes to you with their problems, with their disobedience, and you are glad. Your answer to them may be no. Your answer may be discipline. But you count that as a very good thing, that your child in their struggles do not go off on their own, that your teenager has come to you, because by coming, a child is saying, "I trust you." Jesus said that. When a child comes to you who are a father and asks for bread, does he think he's going to get a stone? Fish, do you think you're going to hand him a scorpion? He trusts you. In His coming, in our coming, God says, "I see gratitude." This praises Him. This praises Him. And then the Catechism says we must also pray because we receive grace and the Holy Spirit through prayers. The Catechism puts it this way: God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask of Him and are thankful for them. So, prayer is a means whereby God instills His grace. God can accomplish His purposes in our lives and give us His grace and Spirit any way that He would will. He wills to grant us the power of His Spirit and grace through prayer. His grace is that He works in us to pray, and through that prayer He is pleased to grant us His grace. So do you need grace from God today? Do you need grace to resist that sin, to flee that temptation, to close your tongue, to guard your tongue? Do you need grace to do that? Do you need grace to be sexually pure, to be honest? Do you pray for it? Did you ask for that? Did you ask God specifically, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you"? Prayer is the means whereby God is pleased to grant us His grace. So we ask, if that's why we are needy sinners, we need God, we must thank Him, we need His grace, we need His Spirit, that's why. We ask then, how? How do I pray? And the Catechism and the Scriptures are very direct in their answer. There's three things that should be woven in our prayers: sincere, humble, and confident. First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who has manifested Himself in His Word for all things He has commanded us to ask of Him. We could ask at this point the Heidelberg Catechism whether the Catechism's emphasis is that we pray from the heart, or whether they say, first of all, you need to pray to the one true God only. And it could be that the authors of the Catechism were very concerned about that part, pray to the one true God only, because that was the day, also today, but that was the day when people were praying to the Virgin Mary, to Saint Christopher, to Saint Anne, and also today. Well, you can pray, and in the Christian Church, it is said, well, you just pray to the great deity, whatever name you want to give to her. You pray whatever you want, her, him, Allah, Hindu, just pray to that great deity. And so first of all, of importance, obvious, is we must pray to the one true God who has manifested or revealed Himself to us in His Word for all things commanded to ask of Him. In other words, you pray to the one true God revealed in infallible Scripture, in the Holy Bible. You pray to the God of the Bible. And who is the God of the Bible? The God of the Bible is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all grace and glory, the one only true God, your God, by grace. You pray only to Him. But while that's true, the emphasis in the answer is you pray sincerely, from the heart. We don't pray just empty, repetitious petitions. We must examine our prayer life that we don't fall into those ruts. And then we begin to say words that we're not even thinking. We're not even thinking. Have you not had that? Of course you have. We've all had that. You're not even mindful of what you're saying. We must pray earnestly. It's not the words, or if those words are just so, or that we read them, but it's from the heart. From the heart. And so prayer is something that we need to concentrate on. And there are certain times in our prayer lives that with our prayers we need to prepare. We need to prepare. And so that idea of a prayer list and writing things down, that's a good idea. And to be thinking how you want to talk to God about this, that's a good thing for your mind to be thinking about during the day. It's very hard to concentrate in prayer. I find it in personal prayer, that's why I was saying it helps me to pray out loud, because I find that, first of all, when I say, well, it's time to pray, suddenly all kinds of things pop into my head that I need to do just for a moment. And before you know it, 15 or 20 moments are gone, and I have to leave, and I didn't have time to pray. And then I find that when I come to God in prayer, and this is why I like to pray out loud, it seems that the devil knows this is happening, and my flesh knows that this is happening, and distracts me by bringing a flurry of thoughts. I compare it like in the football game, when the team has the home field advantage, and the opponent team, the quarterback's coming to the line, and the fans start yelling and screaming, and the offensive line, and nobody knows what's going on. That's the way it happens in my mind so often. Suddenly, there's this flurry of thoughts. And so it's important for me to order my thoughts, to pay attention. And how hard that is, how much effort that takes in congregational prayer and in the prayer at the table. That's hard. You have to work at that. Do you follow the prayer of another person at the table from the beginning to the end? What did Jesus say to Simon? What? Could thou not watch with me for 1 hour? Well, Lord, we have a hard time following the prayer of 3 minutes at the supper table. Watch and pray, says Jesus. You need to pray from your heart. This is something we teach our children. We teach our children this in all of their spiritual life, in their programs, and in their choirs. This is such a joy to us, these programs. What a wonderful thing. But young people and children, we do not sing at these programs to please parents, or simply a love of the music, or the joy of the gift. But we do these things from the heart, to please God. And so that brings us to the posture of our prayers. We fold our hands and we close our eyes. We do that. Children, when you're praying in school and your teacher is praying, she's going to require of you, he's going to require of you, your dad and mom require of you, you fold your hands. We heard that from the earliest days. And close your eyes. And then sometimes the teacher will open their eye and they see you looking at them, and the teacher knows you're not praying. You're looking at her. You're looking at him. You're looking elsewhere. You're not praying. So why? Why do we close our eyes? Why do we fold our hands? We close our eyes because God is invisible. We fold our hands because there's nothing we can bring to Him. We close our eyes and we fold our hands so that we are not distracted. so that we can focus, that we can pray from the heart, that we mean it. Now, beloved, that does not mean that every prayer that we pray is with our hands folded and our eyes shut, because then we would get in an accident. You may pray sometimes with your eyes open. You're driving. You're on the way to the hospital. You're on the way home. And you're praying. You're praying, Lord, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You pray with your eyes open. You bring your petitions to God from your heart. The second thing that the Catechism says about how we pray is humble. That we rightly and thoroughly know our need, so that we may also deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His Majesty. Humble means that we don't try to hide something with God. We're honest. So we confess our sins. We come to God openly and humbly. We come that we are an unworthy sinner, and we come only in the plea of God's grace. Humility is something that comes out in the tone of our words. They're not flippant. They're not simply spoken because this is what we're hearing prayers are like. This is trendy. We begin to use trendy words in prayer. No, it must be sincere. It must be humble. It must be personal. It must be in the presence of God, aware of God's divine majesty. That's good. That's very good. Humility and God's majesty go together. If God shrinks, pride goes up. If God shrinks, humility and how to appear before God is lost. We appear before God as if we don't know. We don't know His supreme majesty. And then finally, the Catechism says we must pray confidently. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that notwithstanding we are unworthy of it, yet for the sake of Christ, He will hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. This follows sincerity, and this follows humility. Sincere, humble, and therefore confident. Confident of what? Confident that God has heard me. Not necessarily confident that my way, or even what I've asked Him, is going to be given to me. That may not happen. God may say, that's not wise for you. I'm not going to give you that. But I'm confident that when I say amen, we are confident of what? That God has heard me. Now, beloved, think of it. Isn't that enough? Isn't that why we prayed? That God would hear me. That I would know that God knows. That I would know that all my wants and desires are before Him. That I would know that the eye of God is upon me at this point and this moment in life. That's why I prayed that He would hear me. That's the confidence that for the sake of Christ, God will hear me. He will never. It's as if nothing else is existing for Him at that moment. He so hears me. Pray sincerely, humbly, and confidently. Why? Because we are dependent upon God for everything. How? Sincere, humble, confident. For what? Two things. Forgiveness of sins. The assurance of pardon. To hear Him say, go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. That first. Why do we pray? because we sinners need to hear every day again these words. My son, my daughter, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Bring a ring and put it on his finger. Bring a robe and put it around his shoulders. For this, my son, my daughter, which was dead, is alive again, was lost, and is found. And then secondly, we pray for fellowship with God, because we need to walk with God. In prayer, we draw near to God. We enter into His secret holy place, where all is well. We converse with Him. For that, we need to talk to Him. We need to converse in prayer. How can a family, how can a marriage be close if we do not converse, if we don't talk? How can that be in our families? How can we be close to God if we don't talk? A child, the danger is that now children come home from school and they have that thing in their hand and they're texting. They're looking at that thing. And they come in and mother says, "Hi, Bill." And Bill says, "Hi, Mom." And that's the extent of it, because Mom's on the computer. And Bill's still on that thing, and he walks by Dad, and Dad says, "Hi, Bill." And Bill says, "Hi, Dad." And Dad's watching the television. And then later in the night, Dad's going to take Bill and his friend John to the game. And Bill and John are in the back seat. And they're not talking to each other, they're texting. And then Dad and Mom, while Bill's at the game, go out for dinner. They haven't seen each other all week. And they're looking at that thing in their hand. So the church conference, this in a week from now, very, very important subject. How can we have fellowship with each other if we don't talk? If we don't say, "Put that thing down. I'm actually going to talk to you." And how can we have fellowship with God if we don't talk to Him? Spiritual life is not just doing the Christian things. It's talking to Him. He's talked to us in His Word, and in prayer we respond to Him. So this morning God has come to us with a question. Does He say to you, "My child, where have you been as of late? I have not heard from you. You're too busy? You've gone everywhere else with this problem but to me? You are my child. What is your spiritual life like? Are you praying?" Beloved, it is time for us. It is time for us to rend our hearts in repentance. For if we are to have the life that is from above, if we are to have the hope of Christ, if we are to have the strength of His grace, this will come through prayer. Lord, teach us, right here, teach us to pray. Amen. Father in heaven, we confess. We confess, O Lord, that we so often forsake Thee and do not go to Thee in prayer. We go everywhere else. We confess that our prayer life becomes so routine and cold, we confess. Lord, we want more than just the acknowledgement. Lord, by Thy grace, bring us to Thee in prayer. Show Thyself. Prove Thyself. Prove Thy word to us that all who come to Thee shall not be cast out, but that through prayer we will receive abundant grace. In Jesus' name, Amen.